Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Green Bar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Green Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
On a Tuesday evening, we welcome you in. It is time for a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us tonight. We will have you for 2 hours. We've got a lot coming up on the program this evening, as we've got a few guests that are going to be joining us here over the next 2 hours or so. Coming up at about 6:20, so in about 10 minutes, Steve Greenberg, Chicago-based sports writer, will join us. We'll talk college football, college basketball with him, talk a little bit about the Fighting Illini. And, you know, while he's on, in honor of Chris Ranji, we'll probably ask him about the Chicago Bears, because that is a disaster of all disasters. And it's gotten to a point where it's so bad that they've gone from being kind of a local regional sports story to being a national sports story with just how much of a disaster it is with the Bears. And it's kind of funny to watch from afar, unless you are a Bears fan. When we, a couple Thursdays ago was Halloween, and my daughter went trick-or-treating, and there was, we got up to one house, and, you know, when trick-or-treating now, a lot of times people have a fire, like a bonfire type thing at the end of the driveway, and they'll sit there so you don't actually go up to the door. And we walk by this house, and they have on their mailbox, it's got all this Chicago Bears stuff. And then the guy who's standing there is just decked out in Bears gear. And I say to him, "Oh, are you dressed up as a sad football fan?" Which I don't think he appreciated. But Kyle Sixta is here. Kyle, he also said, "I was the first person to say anything." What are we doing, people? Like, that's the low-hanging fruit of all jokes. How am I the first one to say that?
It's an absolute layup of a joke. Yeah. I'm shocked no one took it before you. If I would have gone to the house, I would have taken the joke.
Yes.
Everyone would.
Very easy joke to make. And shame on everybody who did not make that joke, who came in front of me. We should have just been wearing this guy out all night long, where he didn't want to even have his bear stuff on. So anyways, Steve Greenberg's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. Next hour, our buddy Scott Braun from Foul Territory is going to join us. We'll talk all things baseball with him, including, and I'll get into this a little bit on my own before we get done today. The stadium situation with the Tampa Bay Rays is just crazy. They cannot play at Tropicana Field this year, so they're going to have to play in a minor league ballpark this upcoming year. Then after this year, they've got two more years before their new ballpark is ready to go. Do you go spend upwards of $60 million to fix the Trop when you're only going to be in there for 2 years? That's a good question. That is a big question right now, and we'll discuss that a little bit. Our weekly conversation with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. That's going to air next hour as well. Doing a lot of Blues hockey this hour, as we did yesterday, and we'll hear from Drew Bannister coming up later on this hour. He spoke with the media after morning skate today. Kind of the the big news, if it is news, but the big news of the day, Matthew Joseph back into the lineup. He had missed a handful of games with an injury. He's going to be the right winger on the second line. That he'll also be joined by Braden Shin and Dylan Holloway. Shin's going to be the center on that line. Holloway is out on the wing. Pavel Buchnevich, by the way, not only is he back to center, he's the top line center today along with Jake Neighbors and Jordan Kyrou. So it's another game of just shuffling stuff around. And the bottom two lines don't look fantastic, if we're being honest about it. But they've got to bounce back. And I mentioned this with Kevin Wheeler last hour during TIPM. If they go out and play well tonight, doesn't matter if they win or lose. Like, it matters. But in terms of this conversation I'm having with you right now, it doesn't matter. If they go out and play well tonight, that doesn't tell me a darn thing about the team. Of course they're going to go out there. It would be a crazy thing if they didn't go out tonight and put a good effort on the ice. This team has got to be as locked in and as ready to go as they have been at any point this season. Coming off an 8-1 loss, coming off a game where internally players are saying that they saw other players quitting, where they're called out by the coaches, where they had a unique practice yesterday, really focusing in on some small things. Of course they should have a bounce back tonight. If they don't have a bounce back tonight, if they don't play well or at least significantly better, that tells you a lot about this team, and it's a lot of bad stuff that it tells you about this team. So it's one of these nights where if they play well, it doesn't tell you anything, but if they play poorly, oh, it tells you a lot. It tells you a lot. So again, we are going to hear from Drew Bannister coming up later on this hour to get into that. We're going to do a few other baseball things as well. Coming up later on tonight in about an hour and 45 minutes, it is the Tuesday night edition of the Gas House Gang. Tonight's going to be Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler. If you're not familiar with the Gas House Gang, again, that is something that's it is brand new here at KMOX, something that we just started here over the last couple weeks, as it's going to come your way every day live on the KMOX social media channels via video stream at, again, 12 noon. And then you can listen to it as a podcast, or you can listen to it on air weekday nights at 8 o'clock. On Monday, Cardinals Mondays, it's myself, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman, and Bernie Miklas, and then we pair off another day. So on tonight's show, it is going to be, I believe, Tom and Kevin. Yeah, it's going to be Tom and Kevin coming up later on today. So you'll hear Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and hopefully you'll be able to enjoy that. By the way, for those of you who have been listening to it, if you have any, it's brand new, and we are trying to make it something that people enjoy watching and listening to every day. While I'm on the air, feel free to text in to me if you've got any comments on the Gas House Gang or things that maybe you'd like to see us do a little bit different. If you've got any thoughts, I'll take them. It's brand new, and we're trying to do things that people want to enjoy. So if you want to text in on that, you can do so. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Always monitoring the text line during the course of this program. By the way, sidebar real quickly. All the time I'll walk in, and like in the middle of this show, somebody will send like a text into the Chris and Amy show. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure when Chris and Amy walk in the next day, they're not like scrolling back to Sports Open Line to see. So it's the same text line for every show on the station. So if you've been holding a thought that you want to share with Chris and Amy and you hold it till 6:15 p.m. and you send it there, it's probably not going to get seen by my good friends, Chris and Amy. All right, we will take a break, and when we return, we'll talk some college football, some college basketball as well. We are going to be joined coming up in just a moment or so by Steve Greenberg. He's with us next. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We are very happy to be able to welcome back onto the program. He is a sports columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times, covers just about everything. We like being able to talk with him about college football and college basketball. He is Steve Greenberg joining us. Steve, we'll get to that in a second, but you're in Chicago. I can't help but ask you to start things off with, what is it like right now covering a Bears team that they've been dysfunctional at times, but it feels like right now they have found a new pinnacle of dysfunction?
They check all the boxes, Matt, on that front. There's no question. And kind of the perfect part about it, the bow on all of it, if you will, is that Matt Eberflus, the coach, it's just really not good at the whole media thing. So he has a way of losing the press conference when times are bad by just obfuscation, by not being straight, by not calling a problem what it is, by belaboring the weirdness of it all. And so it just gets worse. It happened when Justin Fields was here, and that was a constant subject. It happened as Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, was failing, and it lingered. And now it's going to be Eberflus's turn to, you know, do that if he desires to continue to make it hard to talk to him about, you know, his own job status, because he's a lame duck. He's the proverbial coaching dead man walking, nothing short of the extraordinarily unlikely turn of events that would be like actually beating the Packers, actually beating the Lions, winning division games, and going from what's now 4-5 to making the playoffs. Nothing short of that can save him. And really, there's just essentially no chance of that happening.
We have seen bad teams in the NFL just eat up and spit out good prospect quarterbacks, where if a young quarterback is going through head coach after head coach, coordinator after coordinator, they just never get a chance to be good. And these early years for young quarterbacks are so important. Is there forget what's happening with the team right now? How much worry is there right now about Caleb Williams getting caught into that kind of cycle?
Well, you know, when there's different people coaching, there's a different GM. There's a team president who wasn't there when they drafted Fields or when they drafted Mitch Trubisky. So some of it is coincidence, okay? Some of it. But there's also a lot to the idea that starting from ownership, the standard of the Chicago Bears is not what it is in Pittsburgh. It's not what it is in Green Bay and other places we could name, where, you know, you can count on things being done in a professional way, in a winning way. And so the Bears have never been like that. So there's, you know, I look at it kind of both ways. Caleb Williams isn't Fields, isn't Trubisky, and he's got different people leading him. Next year, he'll have entirely different coaches. But I worry about him a lot. I think everybody does, because of who's around him. now. You know, for Trubisky, it was the Matt Nagy coaching regime that let him down. But it was substandard, and it was obvious that the Bears were outcoached regularly. And if you think about it, although they haven't played a division game yet, if you just think about what they have in Minnesota, in Detroit, in Green Bay, they'll be at a coaching disadvantage in every single game, and games of import. And so it's got to take a toll on Caleb Williams' development, not to mention getting sacked as much as he's being sacked, running for his life. It's two-sided. It's development in the every day other than Sunday, and it's physical of getting knocked around and never really having time to process an offense because he's under constant pressure. So is there a chance of this ending like it did with the last two number one picks? Absolutely. But Williams came in with a higher reputation, a perceived higher ceiling, better tools, all those things. I guess at this point, I think he still has every reason to end up in a better spot relative to those two other guys. But it's still the Bears, and you're right to question it.
We're talking with Steve Greenberg from the Chicago Sun-Times. Switching over to Illinois football, throughout the course of the season, they all kind of the toss-up games they had won, and then the games you expected them to lose against really good teams like Penn State and Oregon, they lost until they played Minnesota, and that felt like more of a toss-up game, and they lost that one. They're coming off an off weekend. They're still having a really good season at 6-3, but was this a good regroup moment? Because we can kind of look at the Minnesota game as being the first time that you could argue they maybe should have won a game or could have won a game and didn't?
Yeah, in 2022, you'll remember, Matt, they were 7-1, and then they lost at home as favorites against a losing Michigan State team. And then they lost at home in a sort of toss-up-ish game, but that they were favored in against Purdue. And it just kind of went off, you know, opportunity lost. And then the next year they had a 5-7 season. And so this was a flimsy 6-1 start. In considering Illinois has no history of hasn't won 10 games since 2001, you know, is it a mirage? And I think maybe what we saw against Minnesota is that to some extent it still is. It's a favorable schedule. You know, they make a big deal out of having won three top 25 games, and not many teams out there can say that. But the opponents, you know, were Kansas, which turned out to be what we've seen, a losing team, Nebraska, which has become a train wreck, and Michigan at the time, which, of course, none of those three teams gets any votes anymore, let alone is ranked. So those wins were kind of soft, and Penn State, Oregon, different stories. Minnesota really pushed Illinois around up front. So I think any game for the Illini is going to be really hard to win. At this point, they could still win the last three. I mean, it's a friendly schedule. It has been the whole way. And they've got, you know, Michigan State at home, go to Rutgers, play Northwestern at Wrigley Field. You could be looking at 9-3, maybe the world's least compelling 9-3, but they could get there. And that would be, for Brett Bielema, a high at Illinois. And it would, you know, go all the way back several coaches to the best season that the Illini had under Ron Zook, which would have been the last time they won 9 games. It's happened once in nearly a quarter century. So maybe it'll happen again. And I do think, you know, recruiting is supposedly coming along. Bielema feels great about that. He does feel like he's building. So, but we're in a time in college football when you either make the playoff, or you're irrelevant. Missouri's going to be going through the same reality. Mm-hmm. Better team than Illinois, but if they don't get there, same reality.
Yeah, the college football playoff rankings will be coming out later on, and we'll take a look at them. I don't know about you. I am most intrigued by this gaggle of two lost teams right now. We're talking Alabama and Ole Miss and Georgia and Texas A&M. That's, there's a lot of SEC teams there, but even Clemson and Colorado and Kansas State, like schools like that, that, and I guess we can throw Missouri in there as well. They're 7-2. I don't think anybody's really thinking about them. All these teams have two losses. Some group of those teams are likely to find their way into this playoff, and I just don't know how to differentiate them right now.
And it doesn't matter if you differentiate them right now. I mean, it doesn't matter that the committee will differentiate that right now, because they're all still, you know, they're all still going to lose. They're all still going to play in these games that will define every week who can make conference championship games. If you're a two-loss team and you don't make your conference championship game and you're not Alabama or Georgia, you know, or by this point, maybe Ohio State. I don't know if there are any other teams on the list. You're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe Ole Miss, you know, or Texas. I mean, a lot of SEC in that theme. But these teams are going to have to get to conference championship game, which is in the SEC is going to be incredibly hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk about this, you know, glut of teams. Yes, I mean, you just named all these teams that could still make the SEC title game, and you didn't name all of them. But you still have to get to that game. The incredible thing is, if, you know, anybody who gets to that game and wins it, boom, you got a bye in the first round of the playoff, which is crazy. But yes, it is still. There's so many questions still. I mean, you know, the ACC. Some team, SMU, Clemson, Miami, is going to have a top four bye into the quarterfinals and won't be nearly good enough to deserve it, unless Boise State winds up passing the eventual. Like, let's say, you know, Clemson or ends up winning that league with something like three losses, and is Boise State going to pass Clemson and get the auto by to the quarters? So it's going to end up, there's so many things that can happen. I'm interested in watching it tonight, but it's crazy to say in mid-November, but it's still too early to make much out of it.
Last thing for you, and for folks that read you in the Sun-Times, your college basketball preview piece, it dropped earlier today at the Sun-Times website. College basketball season officially already is underway. You talk a lot about Illinois. Illinois right now is the top team receiving votes in the AP poll. They're a little bit higher when it comes to the coaches poll. Do you like this group that Brad Underwood brings in this year?
I'll tell you what I like about it, as somebody who writes about Underwood and Illinois, is, you know, everybody's question about Underwood, nobody questions his work ethic, because he's a maniac. He's in a good way. Nobody questions his recruiting. I mean, he was in the portal dealing with that as early as the Big Ten tournament, losing sleep and burning the candle at both ends. And, you know, he recruits very hard. He motivates hard. He screams and yells and coaches hard. And the guys who end up playing do play for him. But can he get a team to execute and beat really good teams? That has been hard. At Illinois, there's been a ceiling. They kind of crashed through it last season when they got to the Elite Eight, but then they played UConn and, you know, an experienced, impressive Illinois team gave up like a 30-point run in that, completely fell apart, where Underwood, you could just look at that and say, my God, was he outcoached. So this season, after that long preamble, the entire roster's new, full of disparate parts, portal veterans, one potential one-and-done freshmen, two of them, Will Riley and Kasparis Yakachonis, who are, I mean, Illinois doesn't do the one-and-done thing. They've got two guys who might fit that description. And just so an array of pieces, none of whom have played together before, but with a very high ceiling. Like, this team shoots the three potentially as well as any team in the country. They have incredible length, incredible athleticism. It's the most talented team Underwood has ever coached, I believe that, and I don't think it's close. But can he pull them all together? He's never had to do that before. He's certainly never done it at an elite level when you look at you know, the national picture. And that's what I want to see. Can he do that? If he can, he steps up into the, I think, you know, because of how much Illinois has won in the Big Ten. He's won more than even Matt Painter in the last 5 or 6 years in the conference. He becomes a real made guy in that league. But if he can't, then I'll still have questions about Underwood.
Steve Greenberg is a sports columnist with the Chicago Sun-Times. You follow him on Twitter at SL Greenberg. Steve, appreciate you taking some time with us. I look forward to catching up with you again down the line.
You got it, Matt.
All right, very good. Steve Greenberg with us on the program. Read him in the Chicago Sun-Times. Head to their website, chicago.suntimes.com, and does a great job, not just covering Chicago sports, but doing a lot of national stuff when it comes to college football, college basketball. All right, we'll jump back into Blues hockey. They are getting ready for their matchup against the Boston Bruins tonight. What did Drew Bannister have to say after morning skate today? We'll go through that coming up in just a moment on what's a, I think, pretty big game for the Blues this evening. That conversation is next here on KMOX. Back out on KMOX, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. So have you for another hour and 20 minutes in hour number two. Scott Braun's going to join us. He's part of the team at Foul Territory. We'll talk all things baseball with him. And we will also hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, his weekly conversation with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. We'll air that for you coming up at about 7:35. Wanted to play for you some of what Drew Bannister had to say today. And the Blues are in action in just a while. Special hello to all the folks driving downtown, getting ready for the game tonight as, again, they take on the Boston Bruins. This is going to be an interesting game. I'm very, very curious to see what the Blues look like coming off one of their worst performances of the year, their second 8-1 loss in about 2 weeks, and their first 8-1 loss wasn't good. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But I would also say to you that the reaction and response to this most recent one against Washington, a Saturday night home game, losing 8-1, where after the game, players are essentially saying that other players on the team quit. Like, that's a really bad look. That's a really bad look for this team. And a lot of people have red flags up and out, and rightfully so. And yeah, is it one of 82? It is. It's just one game of the year. And I try not to make too big of a deal of it. But at the same time, I think if we dismiss it as nothing, especially when the team has lacked consistency this year, I think that's giving them a little bit more of a free pass than they deserve at this point. So we'll see what they do tonight. I would expect, I would be shocked. I would be shocked if they don't come out and play hard and put together a really good effort tonight. Win or lose, good effort. I would be, if they don't do that tonight, man, oh man, oh man, those red flags get larger and get higher. So my expectation is that they will do that, and then we'll watch and see how much that can stick around, if that's who they can start to really become and find some level of consistency. There's a few different storylines coming into this game tonight. Let's go through some of them and what Drew Bannister had to say about them. Blues are welcoming forward Matthew Joseph back into the lineup this evening. He's missed the last six games. He has been dealing with a lower body injury. This is what Bannister had to say about Joseph returning to the lineup.
He brings a lot of energy in the dressing room on the ice and just the way he plays, you know, with his speed and his aggressiveness that we want to play as a team. So it'll be nice to have him back in the lineup tonight.
There's a lot of talk about individual performers when Drew Bannister was speaking with the media today. Scott Perunovich is coming off a game where he scored a goal for the first time. There's certainly been some question about who he is from a defensive standpoint. They really need him to be able to take that step forward. Despite the fact that the team lost by an 8-1 score the last time out, Bannister was clearly happy with Perunovich's performance and hoping to see more from him.
Take away the game and how it went, I thought he played very well last game. And I saw him, a guy that was playing with more confidence and moving the puck. And, you know, he jumps into a hole there off a faceoff and scores a nice goal. But, you know, his overall game I thought was very clean, and I thought he was more predictable when he had the puck and he played quicker, which is what we need from our back end.
Looks like Pavel Buchnevich is going to be back at center tonight. In fact, he's going to be the top line center, as he'll be between Jake Neighbors and Jordan Kyrou, and then Braden Schenn on that second line with Matthew Joseph and Dylan Holloway. So Holloway moves from the center spot to the winger spot. After that, the bottom two lines, somewhat questionable just in the groupings. The Faxa line, he's at center along with Alexei Torpchenko on the left side and Nathan Walker on the right side. And Bannister was asked about that line specifically and what they are able to do.
Well, the communication part and getting to their game early, I feel like they push the needle for us. They're very direct in the way they play. They get on the forecheck. They're able to stall out pucks, and then they able to hold on, protect, you know, wear other teams' defense down and forward lines.
And then that final grouping will be down at the bottom. The fourth line has Oscar Sundquist in the middle of Brandon Saad and Alexander Texier. So Texier is back in the lineup tonight. He was a healthy scratch on Saturday. Sundquist in that center role once again. And Bannister talked a little bit about what Sundquist can do for this team.
Sonny is a guy, you know, that you rely on. High hockey IQ and can bring a lot of energy to the game, the way he plays and his details in his game. So, I like the way our lineup looks here tonight with Sonny and Sauter and getting Tex back in the lineup. I think he's going to be excited to play and ready to go.
Yeah, really different looking groupings tonight, and I think you can clearly see kind of a differentiation between the top two lines and the bottom two lines and what you want to expect. I think there's more pressure on those top two lines to go out and have as much success as possible and to go out and score some goals this evening. And it's also important to play well in front of Jordan Binnington. I have to wonder internally what he was thinking to himself during that 8-1 loss where just nothing was going on in front of him. And he's back starting tonight. And Bannister essentially, I wouldn't say called out the team, but he made it very clear that the expectation is that the team plays better in front of Binnington tonight.
And I think we owe it to Jordan as a team to play better in front of him, you know. And I know our guys are going to be ready here for him, and I'm sure Jordan's going to respond really well too.
So that's an important part of this whole thing. Jordan Binnington has been the guy. This season doesn't look bad because of Jordan Binnington. And a couple of comeback wins for the first couple wins of the year, the fact that they were able to win four of their last six, since winning the four of the first six, since that point, they only have three wins to go along with, what is that, seven losses, six losses? So it just hasn't been good here for a little while. Now, for it to be good, part of it is about playing with confidence. Thought it was interesting. Bannister talked about that today, about what he can do as a coach and what players can do individually to be able to make sure that they go out and they've got confidence on any given night.
When you talk about confidence, I think, you know, as a team game, I think, you know, being direct and being predictable makes it easy to play, you know. And when we aren't predictable on the ice, guys start second guessing, guys start, you know, trying to do other people's jobs. And, you know, but I think when you're playing predictable and you're direct, the confidence comes.
Yeah, I found that interesting when I was listening, because a lot of times in sports, predictable has a negative connotation. Like if you know what somebody is going to do, that's not good. But in this connotation, the way that the way Bannister is talking about it, it's very different, because you could almost replace steadfast for predictable. That could be another way that you could talk about it. Just guys going out, doing their jobs, doing their job appropriately, staying in their spot, staying home, like whatever stupid sports cliche that you want to use. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the predictability. It's not about a guy on a breakaway always going after the goal in the same way. It's larger than that. It's taking a step back, and at any point, five guys on the ice, they all have their jobs to do, and them all doing it to a point where one guy doesn't look over and see another guy isn't doing their job. So they feel like, well, I got to do my job and I got to do this other guy's job. And then everything starts breaking down. That was Bannister said some interesting things that has really gotten me thinking over the last couple of days. So this thing about predictability today, because I think, again, in sports, predictability has a negative connotation. He used it in a positive connotation. And then yesterday, again, I still chuckle, the fact that, yeah, it's the first practice after that 8-1 loss, and he's blaming everything on line changes and the way that they go about line changes. Like, it just, it makes you listen to what he's saying. Some of it, it's interesting. Some of it, you kind of shake your head at. But this team is obviously searching right now and trying to get better in a good number of areas. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
As the baseball season continues, or baseball offseason continues, is what I mean to say, the Los Angeles Angels have been kind of oddly aggressive, but aggressive in a like a passive way. And in a year where the Cardinals offseason is probably going to be a bit more subdued, maybe this is the year to, like, If you're following along with the hot stove, seeing what else is going on and see what's interesting, I'm not quite sure what's happening. Because the Angels obviously have been a team with top-level players who have just not performed at a very high level. They can't make the playoffs. They're a disaster in many ways. So baseball is the sport where teams tend to lay back a little bit at the beginning of free agency. There's no salary cap like there is in the NBA and the NFL to push teams to go spend money early, because if you don't spend the money early, you may not get the opportunity to spend it. That doesn't happen in baseball, so teams tend to sit back a little bit. And then you have the Angels, who so far this offseason, they traded for a DH in Jorge Soler. They gave a pitcher in Kyle Hendricks a one-year, $2.5 million deal, which I don't even know what that is. And if you're Hendricks, it's a bad move because it gets you out of the NL Central, because you're not facing the Cardinals anymore, because Hendricks owns the Cardinals. And then today, the Angels agree to a two-year, $12 million contract with catcher Travis d'Arnaud. D'Arnaud's a nice player. Like, I am in no way, shape, or form trying to say anything negative about Travis d'Arnaud. But Kyle Sixto, I look at this, and you see this team and the Angels being the most aggressive team this offseason, but they're being aggressive for middle-level players.
It's really odd. Those are the guys you fall back on at the end of the offseason when you struck out on all the big-ticket items or the big-ticket players. You don't go out and get Kyle Hendricks as the first player off the board.
No, you don't. And this is an example of what I don't want the Cardinals to do. We talk so much about, if the Cardinals are going to be successful moving forward, they cannot go spend free agent money on middle-level players. Free agent money needs to be spent on high-level players. Middle-level players, into-the-roster players need to be produced and developed. And the Angels are spending lots of money on guys like this. To me, it says they're just going to be the same old Angels. We'll take a break. Have more in a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.